Call Cooley on 850-6597.
On Dublin's Q102.
It's Debbie Allen in for Aidan Cooney. He will be back tomorrow to discuss all your beauty problems. He's delighted, I'd say. But tonight is Monday night. Tonight is Consumer Night, and Dermot Jewell, CEO of the CAI, joins me this evening. How are you, Dermot?
I'm good. And yourself?
You're well. Did you enjoy the sunshine yesterday?
Yeah.
Something else, wasn't it?
Yes, and I can actually remember it, but I just hope that that wasn't the day.
Hope you made a note of it, did you? Yeah. Hope you made a note of it. Yeah, it was a fantastic day, and everyone's
brilliant.
In such good humour.
Yeah,
and no one's complaining.
Side.
Yeah, so they can all get they can complain tonight. Tonight,
this
now. Let's talk petrol. Let's talk oil. Huh? All right? Right. The EU investigators raided the offices of top oil companies Shell, BP and Statoil recently to investigate if oil price reports have been distorted in a way that would ultimately lead to higher prices for consumers. Now, you know, the prices have gone from, since doubled from 82 cent a litre in 2002 to an average of 158. The EU probe is trying to establish if any of this surge is down to oil companies colluding to distort prices. It was launched on foot of suspicions by the Automobile Association's sister bodies that oil prices in Europe had been significantly higher than world prices on three occasions in the last year, according to AA Director of Policy, Conor Faulkner. So what have you noticed about petrol prices in recent times? How have they compared to where you may have been on holiday, for example? Where do you find the best and the most consistently good value for petrol? And how much do you spend a week on petrol? You can let us know in text on 57102 for 20 cents. You can give us a buzz and we'll call you back. 85 6597. I happen to notice that the one in, what's the name of the street? It's just behind us here. It's very cheap. Just before Conley.
Oh, right. Okay. The only one I always think about when it comes to cheap petrol is Mount Brown. It's kind of that.
The
kind
Emo.
Of famous. Was, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You'd see the taxis all out the back. Yeah, I think they're still fairly cheap.
They are.
What was the website? Pumps.ie? Or
yes. Yeah.
That was a great way of keeping in touch and finding out.
It's an interesting point because for the media used to get really, really involved in this for quite a long period of time. They'd be making comparisons on why has it gone up and why has it gone up. And I think, like so many people around the country, they just kind of gave up because you couldn't get a clear answer.
No.
Why is it up? Well, you know, it's the cost of, you know, the pump at Russia is really, you know, being seriously attacked there, and so that's changing the price. We go, well, okay, well, why did it go up again next following month? Don't know.
Because we used to remember, I'll never forget now, when Dave Harrington and I did breakfast 8 years ago, right? And we were saying, remember when the time when oil went to $100 a barrel? We were like, oh my God! You know what I mean? That's just ridiculous.
Nothing now.
Nothing.
And then the interesting thing about it was, is it went below the $100 and the price of the pump went up again.
Yeah.
So
are they not regulated?
Well, they're supposed to be. I mean, there's OPEC and there's all sorts of, you know, structures, but I don't know. And then it's very hard to compare it because if you look at the amount of tax that we take and go to other member states and...
The government takes a lot of it, though, don't they?
It takes a huge amount out of it. But in other member states, you might pay a very similar amount to ourselves or even a little bit more, but you don't pay motor tax. So there's a differential, and you know, because you might say, well, it's just as expensive over there, and go, yes, it is, but they don't have to pay road tax.
Now, I can understand if it's a family-owned garage that you have to maintain garage and staff and all that kind of stuff, and you should be getting a few bob for that. But I mean, I've heard people talking like on the radio. I mean, people who own their own garage and they get very little.
Yeah, they make a couple of cent a litre.
That is shocking.
That's kind of it. Yeah, that's why they're all selling food and newspapers and magazines and everything they can think of. Yeah.
God, yeah. I suppose, what is the cheapest in town at the moment? You can let us know on 850-6597. We'll give you a buzz back. Or drop us a text if you have a chance. 57102 for 20 cent. Mags Collins says she spends about €30 a week. That's kind of like me too, depending on where I have to go. Yeah. And I find some petrol stations, despite their prices being cheaper than others, you don't always get the same mileage out of a fill. I found that sometimes if I go to, well, I might as well name it, Topaz, because it says that it's nice clean petrol. I fall for that.
It works.
I fall, but then I go to Tesco because I get me points on me card.
Right, okay, very good.
I'm kind of caught between the two T's. This is you now. So who's John is on with us this evening. Good evening, John. How are you?
Hi, Debbie. How's it going?
Not a bad bone in my body tonight. I'm grand. Sunshine has given me good humour. Yourself, did you get out in the sunshine yesterday?
I did indeed, yeah, it was great. Now, hopefully we won't have to take a picture of it for future reference.
Yeah, that was the day. Right. Now, John, what's your problem? How can Dermot help you out tonight?
Yeah, basically, it's not more of a problem, more of an advice for others. I got some broadband there last year with UP, with a certain provider, and basically what wasn't made clear to me at the time when I was getting it was that the broadband itself is 100 megabytes, but it doesn't actually work on every device. And I suppose just let me to explain to for others, there's different types of wireless routers in, say, your laptop or wireless cards, say, in your mobiles.
Right.
And it wasn't made clear to us at the time that it only works with certain types. So basically I'm paying for 100 megabyte broadband when, say, my girlfriend's laptop can only work at a certain level. And I was just wondering, is there anything that can do with UPC or the company on that? Sorry, I'm after mentioning them.
That's okay. We'll sort it out.
Never heard of them, John.
Yeah, exactly.
Never heard of them.
Yeah. I did a little bit of research on the terms and conditions, and I haven't seen it. Is it just something I have to live with, or is it something I should have known? Or
it's well, they would always put it back, which is, look, if we can't dictate you or tell you what specification of a particular machine will run up to 100 megs or what won't, and that's why you've said it yourself. The expectation would be that you would kind of know. Now, I'll come back to you in a second on this. The expectation is that you would know what your system will run on. But I mean, an interesting thing came across our bows the other day, which was somebody, and many people will know what we're talking about, somebody trying to charge an iPad with their iPhone lead, and it just would not charge. They just don't work a lot of the time. And I Googled this, and there are thousands of people across the planet who are going, how come my iPad won't charge with the iPhone charger? It just doesn't work.
That
it's
doesn't
quite
make sense.
Amazing.
Yeah, because they're usually so clever.
Exactly. You know? It's either something to do with that kind of block plug that comes with the iPad, or it's the lead or something, but it doesn't work. But it's very interesting. Again, it's always up to you and I to try to find these kind of things out, John. Then that's the problem.
Is the you said it runs up to 100 megs? 100 megs. I mean, is that the ideal? Is that
that's peak? Obviously, is what they're saying. Yeah, you can have 100 megs, but it's a pity that they're not saying it wouldn't go astray from to say. Well, it probably says up to, but it wouldn't go astray to say 100 megs. But you need to just check your machine because we know. From historically, that it doesn't apply to all units, and that way you're a little bit on your guard, and you know it's a fair choice.
And I suppose just on that, for people to be aware of as well, that if you have say if you have a laptop that's capable of taking in the 100 megabytes, say for instance if someone else in the house is connected, but there's two different types of wireless card. There's a G and an N, and you have to have the N wireless card in your laptop. But if you have say an iPhone connected to it, or you have someone else in the house that has a G laptop, it only will work at the speed of the G in the entire house. Not
it brings it all down to the same.
That wasn't made clear at all. So I suppose the purpose of my call today was just to make everyone aware, just to watch out and do your homework before you sign up.
Well, good for you, because I wouldn't have known that.
Wouldn't
now,
have
that's
clue.
Impressive. Nice one, John.
That's a nice one. Thanks for that. Listen,
great.
Hopefully we'll get some sunshine. We'll chat to you again if you need us, okay?
Thanks very much. Thanks,
guys.
Bye.
Take
care. Cheers. Bye.
The best
That's
price is cool. in the Claremont Garage, Texaco, on the Ashbourne Road. Johnny Brady, 142 for diesel and 152 for petrol.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I nearly drive out now.
Yeah. Go for a drive.
Exactly. You're right. David in Beaumont joins us this evening. Now, David Cowell, too. No, you're not there. You're there, David, are you?
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Sorry, apologies. How are you this evening?
Oh, very well, thanks. That's not Aidan Cooney, and I didn't get to listen to the start of the show.
No, it's not Aidan Cooney. It's Debbie Allen. I'll just have to do it. But don't worry. The most important person here is Dermot.
No, you sound an awful lot better than Aidan Cooney.
Poor Aidan.
Hi, Dermot.
David,
how are you, Dermot?
I'm good, David. What's happening? What can we do for you?
Well, it was on last week, Dermot, about this insurance thing.
Oh, right? Yes, indeed.
The top-up, as they say.
Yeah, did... Okay, I suppose to bring it back to everybody, you had switched from a very impressive Lexus, and you moved over to a Skoda.
Yeah.
And just so everybody understands, David had a Lexus GS300, and it cost €388 fully comprehensive. And when he sold his Lexus,
don't tell me it went up.
It did, ever so slightly. It went up, not only the $388 he paid, it went up by a further $548, which was a total of €936.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's just the transfer after 3 weeks of being insured.
So, you know,
And obviously, the penalty was either pay that, which would be a fool to do, and nobody has the money now for that, or to take up a brand new insurance, so you pay a penalty clause.
Yeah, to get out of
it. So, Dermot, as I said to you last week, my point is it's a scam, and if that sort of thing goes on, there's going to be an awful lot of people getting frumwoxed there.
No, you're entirely right, and therein lies the dilemma. You see, there's nothing illegal about it. Somebody gives you a quote, you either take it or you leave it, you move on somewhere else, which you did. The frustrating element of it is, as you say, after only a number of weeks in the original policy, you had to pay 100 and odd euro just to get out of it.
But I mean, is there not a cooling off period? I mean, if that gives you time to sort of say, actually, this really doesn't suit, I'll go to somebody else.
Not really, no. Not this is kind of consumer contract.
Usually 10 days, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's sometimes with certain areas, and particularly online, you might get a cooling off period. But when you're dealing in hard cash with a direct, and you want to be, particularly insurance, and you want to be covered today for all eventualities, there's no cooling off period. You either take it or you don't.
That's bizarre.
You don't take the risk.
You must have nitrous oxide in your Skoda. I mean, for that kind of price, for God's sake.
Maybe it's the driver, I don't know.
Oh, no.
It is a scandal, Dermot, isn't it? That's crazy. I mean, to accept that, and then to renew my insurance with somebody else, then it cost me, and that a little bit. The actual total cost for a 1.6 engine, I'm a decent age, but of a good few years, no claims. And I think it's going to cost me over 500 just alone with the penalty and everything else to get the new insurance.
That's with the so the quote that you got from your original company was crazy.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary, that. I know it was an underwriting company, but that's exceptional. And what really amazed me is that because you were a customer, you was a customer already, and this was just staying with the same company, I couldn't believe that they wouldn't bring it back down.
Yeah, because...
I would have accepted an administration fee for the transfer.
Yeah.
Problem with all, everyday life. We all work in different areas and et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, I said to him at the time, where's the decimal point? Is it 0.548, 5.48, or even 54.8? But when he came up with the decimal point after the 8, that triggered off alarm bells. But look, guys, if you can do something in the future for me, if you can arrange a little ring that people can go into maybe to sort these things out.
Yeah,
Mark's the Queensbury rules, Dermot.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I definitely off air, I'm going to follow up on this with somebody in the insurance industry. Well, so we'll see where it goes.
David, thanks so much for getting in touch.
Well, thanks, and have a good evening.
You too.
Take care.
God bless you both. Bye-bye.
Aye.
Well, Janie.
Oh, huge money.
I mean, I'm with the same insurance company. They were Ladystar, then I was Zurich, and I'm with them every year, right? And because of that, I get a discount.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's why I stay.
I know, it's crazy.
And I have changed my car. That is mad. Let us take a break.
Call Cooley on 850-6597.
On Dublin's Q102.
Debbie Allen in for Aidan Cooney tonight. He will be back with you tomorrow. And it's because it's Monday, it's Dermot Jewell, CEO of the CAI, the man that can sort out your problems with or without his costume. He's without his costume tonight, I might add. But we're going to have to insist he wears it in the future. We're talking petrol tonight, among other things. Sarah O'Kane says, I'm in Egypt at the moment and it's the equivalent of 10 euro to fill a 1.8 car. Something very wrong in Ireland.
Wow.
Joe Malone says 172 in Ballintober in Roscommon. Don't bite there. But that's what they charge, 172.
Wow.
Kaz Whelan says Apple Green out by Lusk. Used to be an average 4 cents cheaper, not sure now. I use the Maxol at Omni, 157.9. Now, my brother lives out in Ashbourne and I would nearly drive out to the Apple out there because it is always so much cheaper. It is, it kind of works out that way. Leo joins us this evening. Good evening, Leo. How are you?
Hello, how are you, Debbie?
I'm very, very well. What can we do for you this evening?
I missed you. We missed you when you went off that time.
Oh, did you? But I'm back now.
No, I mean, when you change your times, you know.
Yeah, sure, that's
it. Anyway, listen, I tell you what, I just had a problem. We were talking about insurance there, you know. And I must say that Dermot did, some time ago, I had a problem with the Northern Bank. They wanted to get my wife's signature, who died 13 years ago, before they gave me the...
I remember that. I remember remember that.
Yeah, but the very next day after being on, I got the check. So fair play.
Happy days.
Yeah, but anyway, this was an interesting one. I was sitting. If you sit at home, anybody does, and you have insurance for your house, you're quite happy and you're protected, and you made sure to pay it up and all that. But I had my wife, unfortunately, had a flood in her house. Last January, and the house was actually flooded. It was a broken pipe underneath. They had to dig it up. In the kitchen, cement, and dig it up. And it flooded the whole blooming place, you know.
Yeah.
And anyway, Dermot, this is a sorry, Dermot. How are you?
Good.
Anyway, they flooded the whole house, and eventually, after 3 weeks, they came up and started checking it up. We got a good plumber, I'm glad to say, who did all the work and did the repair work as well, and carpets were changed. But the difference about 2,000 short, right?
All right.
Right, so then you might as well get knotted as to try and fight them, because they had somebody up there looking at the prices of everything. And I mean, we didn't go for the dearest stuff or anything like that. Right. But anyway, that was then. And then this befall us. We had I went to renew my insurance. So I said, normally I ring around, and I got my quote, and I rang around, and I went to Aon, which I went before, and they told me, any of your family ever have any claims lately? And the last 5 years, and I said, yeah, my wife had a claim at her mother's house, and she said, it was, how much was it? Oh, yeah, well, we can't take you. I said, I beg your pardon? I said, you can't take me because you had a claim. I said, well, she's nothing to do with my house here.
Yeah, exactly.
She, in actual fact, she isn't even on the, she has a residency here until I die, and she dies, I should say, and that's it. Like, she, you know, the family would go to the family then, because I married again some time ago, you know, which is another story. But anyway, so that was the story, anyway, and I was fairly annoyed about that, and they said, well, do you want to make a complaint about it? And I
all
said,
right.
Well, how do make a complaint to it. He said, but you can make it to me now. And I got a letter out saying that they had, you know, that they had actually refused me insurance.
That's just
okay. So I'm back to my one I went to in the first place, which I intended to do, you know, anyway. And it was the AA insurance who had gone to Zurich last year. And they turned around and said to me, what happened? And I explained to the AA guy. And he said, I'll check out that. He said, that's ridiculous, carry on. I can't believe that, but I'll check it out for you. And he came back to me after a week or so, before the insurance was due. And he said, yes, Leo, that's completely wrong. And we don't agree with that. And Zurich are going to insure you. And you had no claims last week. And we're reducing your...
your policy premium.
Yeah, to 374 instead of 476. So now there's a difference for you. So,
definitely.
I mean, what would you say about a thing like that? I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it's good customer policy on Zurich's part. That's what we'd have to say for starters.
My wife had gone to Zurich for the car and that, and a few times, and we found them excellent. Well, we don't claims now, to be honest with you, but it doesn't matter. They had no. They completely disagreed with the carry on that was going on. And 123 was the same, by the way, but that's another story. So all these people who offer you cheap insurance, you end up...
They're not interested.
Well, I must say, Leo, that's the first time I heard of somebody being branded a serial flutter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I remember you saying there with that the bank thing. He said, I've never heard anything as ridiculous in my life.
Yeah, that's what I have now.
Yeah.
And my name is on the checkbook only, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it was ridiculous. But anyway, I tell you, when I said it, I reported it there, I said, it went very quickly into my pocket, the check.
That's it. Lodges straight away. Leo, thanks very much for getting in touch. Mind yourself, won't you?
See you, Leo.
No, thanks very much indeed.
Bye. That's how you sort it all out.
Absolutely.
Now, somebody's passed the garage on the South Keys, thanks to our texter there. 152.
Oh, that's good.
That is good.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, let's check out more petrol prices and more problems for Dermot after this.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cents. Dublin's Q102.
Debbie Allen and Fred and Cooney, you can let us know your petrol stories and prices in your local area by text on 57102 for 20 cents or give us a buzz on 850-6597 and we'll call you back. Now, Tara joins us this evening. Tara went on the 27th of April to look at a car, a BMW, 06 BMW. Her dad went with her and checked over the car and everything seemed okay. The dealer agreed to have necessary work done on the car, which included the full service being carried out and also some work on the paintwork. He said he'll do all that and also give her a 3-month warranty, which meant that anything else that needed to be done would be carried out within the 6 months. She agreed the price and paid the deposit. And what happened next, Tara?
Well, basically, what happened next was I left the garage. About 2 hours later, the clutch went on the car.
Oh, Janie.
Well, there was a noise in the clutch. I brought it straight to my mechanic and he told me that the clutch was gone and it cost me a fortune to get it fixed. Then, basically, the turbo went in the car then after that.
My goodness.
I know, yeah. So the next day I brought it back to the dealer. The dealer said he will have his mechanic look at it. He didn't have the mechanic look at it at all. And he told me that he wasn't going to fix it for me.
Just like that?
Just like that. Rude. He was so rude.
Okay.
So basically I'm at a loss what to do. I don't know what to do. It cost me like 2,000 euro to get it fixed. So I'm just wondering, do I have any rights here?
Well, you say when you bought it, Tara, you say within a couple of days the clutch went.
No, 2 hours.
Couple of hours. Oh my God!
Yeah. And he's making a noise like the clutch was going.
Okay.
And some dual flying mass wheel needs to be changed or something.
Right. And in relation to the turbo, how long after did that go?
The same evening. It was making really, really loud noise.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And this didn't happen on your test run?
No, it didn't at all.
It was working fine.
Yeah. And I brought it straight to my mechanic.
Right.
Straight away
right.
When I heard the noises, like obviously.
Yeah.
Right. Is this a well-known? Is this a well-known? Is the garage a member of SIMI, the Society of the Irish Motor Industry?
It is. Yeah. And I got on to them. I sent an email, but I never heard any correspondence back from them.
You didn't?
Yeah, I left 3 messages last week for them. They never got back to me either.
Nothing.
So okay. I'm kind of really annoyed about this whole situation. Like, I used all my savings to pay for this car, like, it's my dream car. Really.
And where's the car now?
It's here, I have it, and I still
in the
have
driveway.
To drive it to work.
Oh, gee.
Okay. And
my mechanic told me if I keep driving the car, the turbo's going to fail and the engine's going to be just destroyed.
Oh, yeah. And did you, just so we get the story completely, you obviously have said that the guy said you won't fix it, et cetera, et cetera. Hmm. But did you attempt to go back and say, look, I'm talking about consumer law here. This car is not fit for its purpose. It's obviously you cannot have carried out the full service that you said you were going to do. Now maybe you weren't aware of your consumer rights, but you were entitled to ask for a full refund or if you wanted to have the car repaired. But
yeah. What about the warranty though, Dave?
Warranties always exclude wear and tear, and particularly a clutch wouldn't come under the warranty, and that's why I'm just trying to get the sequence of this in place. Realistically, can I suggest to you, okay, Tara, you have rights. As a consumer,
yeah.
It's the Sale of Goods Supply Services Act, and when a car or anything is sold to you, but in this case the car was sold to you, and it is likely that you will be making a claim that it was not of merchantable quality at the time it was sold to you.
Yeah.
So that's really what you're going to be saying and writing down on any form.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I just suggest that you go online to the SIMI website, SIMI.ie,
yeah.
And you'll have to forgive me now because I haven't done this in quite a while. I would be fairly certain that there is a form there that you can download, and you write the detail of when you bought the car, what happened, etc., etc., and post it or attach it as an email.
Dermot, I did all that.
Venetia is actually going to give Simon a ring in the morning for you, Tara.
Oh, that'd be great.
Brilliant. Yeah, so because that's, I'm surprised that it hasn't been followed up.
Yeah,
because last week I heard they told me that they get cars. They sent me an email back saying they correspond to me by post.
All right.
But I haven't had anything, so I rang the girl, and she said she'd get onto the complaints department. They ring me back, so I rang the next day, which they never rang me back. I left a message for the girl again. She wasn't at her desk. She's away. So I left another message to ring me back, and then 3 days after that I rang again and still got nothing back.
All right, well,
Yes, well, we will definitely follow through on that, as you're saying. Now, Venetia will call on to them tomorrow, because the whole idea of being able to call the motor industry representatives is that they call you back.
Exactly.
And quite quickly. So, look, we'll follow up on that one, because right now there's very little else you can do. This needs really somebody to help you and put a pile of bit of pressure on.
Yeah, well, Venetia, we'll get on to them tomorrow. She has your number, yeah. And we will get back in touch with you, Tara. Please, God, we get it all sorted out.
That's great, Debbie. Thank you so much. Thank
Not
you
at all.
Much. Bye, Tara.
Thanks for getting
Bye-bye.
In touch, Tara. Cheers.
Bye.
Football, Jeremy, obviously Freudian slip there. Petrol, €200 a month. That's just commuting without casual drives, says Derek Fahey. Paul in Evans Kelly says, I used to spend over €100 every 2 weeks on petrol until I changed my car to diesel. I now fill the car every 2 weeks, and it's just €70.
Brilliant.
Yes. Now I'm thinking, now will I go to a diesel? I don't know what to do anyway. Claire from City West joins us this evening. Good evening, Claire. How are you?
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm
Hi,
very
Derek.
Well. Very
Hi,
well.
Claire.
What can we do for you?
Well, it's a bit of a saga. I'm travelling to London, the bank holiday weekend, to visit a friend of mine. And, you know, being prepared, I purchased a train ticket to get me from the airport into the city. Unfortunately, after I purchased it, my credit card number had actually been skimmed somewhere, so the credit card company contacted me to tell me, and it had to be cancelled. So then, obviously, I realised, okay, well, this is going to cause a problem because I'm not going to be able to collect my ticket at the station because you need your credit card. So I contacted the company, and in the meantime, checked their website, you know, just to see what the situation was. So under their frequently asked questions, they actually have stated that if your credit card is lost or stolen, it's not possible to collect your tickets, so you actually have to cancel the original to get a refund, purchase new tickets, and that the usual administration fee will be waived. So I thought, well, this is great. I've got my answer. So I contacted them again saying, I've just actually looked at your website. I see what I need to do. I went through the process of filling out the form. I emailed it to them. You get the usual automated response of, you know, it's going to take 7 to 10 working days, so I kind of sat waiting to hear from them.
Right.
So I did get a reply about 8 days later to say that I need to actually send the refund request by post into such and such an address, which they hadn't provided before, and that there would be an administration fee of £10. So I was like, okay, well, this isn't right. So I replied to the email, but again, I didn't get a response because I just got the automated reply to say it was going to take 7 to 10 days. But I went about putting through the request for the refund in the meantime. About another 6 or 7 days passed, and I said, right, I'll give them a call to see if it's going to help, knowing that it was going to be an international phone call. So rang the number in the UK, was on hold for about 30 minutes waiting to speak to somebody, finally got to speak to somebody who wasn't really that helpful, could see that my refund request had been received and was, you know, the process was going to be started, told me that I didn't actually even need to go through the refund process. I could have just filled out some other form. And I said to him, well, this information isn't actually on your website. Your website states that, you know, I had to get new tickets. And then I said to him about the administration fee, and he said, oh, well, you know, I'll put a note against your request here and hopefully you will receive, or the fee will be waived, at which point I said, well, I don't want the hopefully, I want a confirmation, because your website states that the administration fee will be waived. And, you know, I said, can I speak to somebody in the refund section to be told that they don't take phone calls? Asked to speak to, you know, a manager or somebody that would be able to confirm this for me, to be told that I'd have to put a request in for a callback, and it could take up to 48 hours for a callback.
For God's
and I was like, well, sure. I said, I've waited this long. I said, another 48 hours won't kill me. So, yes, please put in the request. So he did. And needless to say, I received no phone call. So then I finally, today, got a reply to my email from whatever it was, 7 to 10 days ago, or actually it was even longer, to state, you know, given all kinds of excuses for why there's an administration fee and the resources and the work needed to go into processing refunds and blah, blah, blah. And then told that my application or my refund was being processed and I would receive a full refund of £21.60 when I actually paid £31.60. So they are still charging me my £10 admin fee. So I have again replied, and again, I'm sure I'm not going to hear from them for another 7 to 10 days because that seems to be their process. But every time I've spoken to them or written an email to them, I've included a link to the website where it has the information about waiving the admin fee and,
yeah,
you know, as close to the text. And not once have they actually referred to it or, you know, even acknowledged the fact that I have included this in my correspondence to them. So I'm really at a point now where I don't really know what more I can do because they're just not acknowledging it at all. Like,
well, what I'd suggest you do, you have an email address that you can that you know will, if you like, will be read. Don't
eventually,
you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what I would do is I would send an email advising that you're going to refer them to the Office of Fair Trading in the UK for misleading consumers through their website, and that they state on it that they will not apply an administration fee, but in reality are doing so. And okay. I would actually make that complaint. If you have the time, but on the second side of it, that's just to, if you like, deal with them here at home. And I'm a bit surprised that they haven't helped you at all. All of this has been the cause of the credit card not being able to be having to be renewed. So if you ring your credit card company and tell them that you've been speaking to myself and to Debbie, and that we've asked you to remind them of Section 14 of the Sale of Goods Act, and that under that part of the Act, we're asking them to facilitate you by reversing the charge to that company, because you can easily explain to them that they've messed you about, that they're charging an admin fee, which it says doesn't apply and won't be applied, but yet they're messing you about, that it's costing you more money. And long story short, under the terms of Section 14, Sale of Goods Supplies and Services Act, having spoken to ourselves, you want the entire charge refunded back to your card.
Okay, and the credit card company can do that?
They can.
Even though the payment would have gone through back in April?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
They can, doesn't matter.
They're a big, powerful company. They can do all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Honestly, Claire.
Yeah.
Again.
And like, it'd be great to get you sorted, but like, today's the 20th.
Yeah.
And they're going away, like,
yes.
10 days.
Because I had to, I mean, I have since booked a ticket with a different company now.
Good right. for you.
Good woman.
Because I was like, I'm not giving them my business. I was like, if I have to cycle from the airport, I'll do it.
I know. But good for you for staying with it.
Yeah, good for you, because they do that to kind of tick you off.
Where you out?
So you just kind of go, where are you out? Exactly. They just go, I hear, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Well, I normally would. And I mean, some people would say it's only £10 or, you know, whatever.
It's the principle.
Equivalent in euro, but it is. It's the fact that they have it stated there in black and white and they're not even honouring it. Like,
let us know how you get on and have a lovely time in London.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597.
Dublin's Q102.
Debbie Allen in for Aidan Cooney. Aidan will be back with you tomorrow. We're just going to wrap up the petrol prices. Carol Dean says the petrol station Mount Brown, your place, just past St James's, was 151.9 on Saturday.
Brilliant.
Well done.
Yep.
Neil Kavanagh says, I'd hardly use the word value when talking about petrol prices. In all fairness, robbery and extortion spring to mind as better descriptions. Me Demar says, petrol no dearer here than in most European countries. I visited 9 times last year, and Luxembourg was the only one significantly cheaper than the others, all in the same ballpark, but still cheaper here than in the UK, which is true. Chris Stokes says, max all time in North and Tally, usually the cheapest by a cent or two compared to the rest of the area. Topaz and Kilnaman, that's the word, according to Michael Murphy as well. Ken Hickey spends €65 to travel to work a week, and I only work 3 days a week. Janie Mike.
Wow.
And Geraldine Hartford says, if the so-called government didn't put as much tax, it would be better. At the minute, it's £155 in Naas. How much of that is tax? We just don't know. We just don't know. Anyway, it's time for one of Dermot's favourite topics. Sofas.
Sofas.
And it's Adam. Good evening, Adam. How are you?
How are you doing, Debbie? I'm grand, and yourself?
Not a bother. Now, I'll leave you guys to have a little chat.
Tell us all about your woes.
Well, where do we start? I bought a sofa back in January, and it was supposed to be delivered in February, but it never arrived. The day came and went, and got in touch with the store, and they told me basically that it wouldn't be till April, some problems with the port or whatever. April came and went, and still no sofa. Then they said it'd be the start of June, and
June.
Yeah, and then they changed again and said the end of June.
I'm sorry. This is just ridiculous, Adam. Oh, my God.
And now I'm trying to get my money back, and I've asked for it over 3 weeks ago, and I'm still waiting.
So, wow.
I wouldn't mind if they advertise they deliver in 5 days.
Where, though? Exactly.
You know?
That's so please really, don't tell really, me you guys are sitting on the floor now for the last 16 weeks.
Well, no, we have the patio chairs in the sitting room, so...
Oh, God.
You know?
Oh.
Tell us this, Adam. How did you pay? Did you pay in cash?
It was paid by Visa.
Right, that's a debit card, though, was it? Not a credit card?
No, it was paid by Visa.
Visa credit card?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
We just need to be sure it's a credit card. You know what I mean? Like, because a lot of people...
No, 100%, it was the Visa credit card.
Oh, brilliant. Happy days. Well...
That's good news.
What you need to do then is, as we tell people... This is great, actually, yeah. What we always say to people is that you have a friend in the credit card company. In that, what you need to do now is ring your credit card company, tell them what's happened... Tell them you were talking to ourselves and that you're putting them on notice that you're going back to the store tomorrow to ask them for the refund immediately. And that and you tell them you've already asked for this now and nothing has happened.
Yeah, no, I've sent an email. I was on to Citizens Advice and they told me to send an email to say that I wanted my money back within 7 days and if not, I was going to the small claim court and it's after 7 days now.
Yeah. That's all right. Don't worry about that. We can leave the small claims court a little bit later.
All right.
Ring the credit card company. Tell them that you've done this. You've gave them the notice and they haven't refunded you. So what you're going to do is you're going to call them tomorrow. Can you do that? Have you got a number you can call them at?
Yeah.
That you're going to call them tomorrow. Ask them to refund your money within 2 days.
All right.
And that if you don't have your money within 2 days, you will be back to the credit card company to require them to reverse the credit back onto your card because you're entitled to do so under Section 14 of the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services.
All right. God bless that act. God bless it.
It's brilliant.
It sounds so simple.
It does. Now, this should work. And that's where we'll ask you, if it doesn't work, will you make sure that you come back to us?
Yeah,
because it should.
Will you come back to us next Monday and let us know how you got on?
Yeah, I'll get on to it straight away. I will.
You do that. That's excellent. And let us know. I will chat to you. Aidan will chat to you with Dermot next Monday.
All right, then. That's great. Yeah,
cheers.
Thanks a million, Debbie. All right.
See you, Adam. Right. Bye.
Got some questions for you, Dermot. This is a good question.
No, yes and no.
Typical bloke. Laura in Cambridge wants to know, I often hear people on these consumer-driven TV shows saying that the consumer is always right. But is the consumer always right? Really? And if so, why do I never feel that they are whenever I've complained in a shop or a restaurant?
Well, the reason being is the consumer... I suppose the idea that the customer is always right was always a sales pitch. It was an idea way. It was an American who brought it up to get you into the store and that was it. You'd be treated as a king. And back then they did. Now the problem is that you may know your rights, but too often, which is why we have the show here, you can go in and you say, I know my rights and I want this and I want that, and they're still denied you. And that's the problem. I agree with you. The consumer is not always right as far as certain elements of service and providers and retail providers are there. But the problem is that it's not that they're all bad, it's just there are a few in there who just really deny you your rights on a regular basis. And it's very difficult. You got to fight. I mean, if you listen to Claire back there and you know, Tara...
That's shocking.
They're pushing and pushing and pushing and it takes forever. It's just desperate.
It's funny though, because I mean, I had to return two bikinis to H&M. Right. The other day, right, from the Beyonce collection, and I looked like Jay-Z in them. Very, very awful looking on me, right? And I was nervous about...
Yeah,
I was nervous.
Believe it.
And I rang up because one of the bikinis didn't have any straps, so that's why I wanted to preempt before I went in case they went, no, we're not going to do it because we can't sell it, right? Because you know the way you have to give it back.
That's right.
And I went in, I tell you, they couldn't have been nicer.
See, there you go.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like nearly tugging my forelock thinking, oh God, I've got to go in here now and I've got to...
get beaten up. Yeah. That's great. That's brilliant. See?
Yeah. So, I mean, I seem to find that like Dunn stores as well. Pennies, not a bother.
Yeah. As I say, some of them are very, very good at customer service and they know what to do and how to do it. Yeah.
You know, because I'll go back all the time. Another question for you about eBay. Don't know how well up you are on eBay and the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah.
Can Karen from Castlelock says, I wonder if you can help me, Dermot. I was spring cleaning the house the other day and I found a whole box, about 50 in total, of old 78 records in the attic. They're all in perfect nick and mostly opera. I was thinking of selling them, but wanted to know the safety of selling things through sites such as eBay, etc. Now, I have bought things through eBay and I've had a couple of problems, but sorted out like that.
Yeah.
Terrific. Terrific. What about selling, though? I don't know anything about that.
Well, most of the sellers, I mean, it's usually you're looking at a seller to see their rating. In other words, are they trustworthy? When you pay your money, will you get your stuff?
Yeah.
So it most of the time it's okay, because when you're selling, all you need to be very careful about is that, and particularly with 78s, they break when you just look at them.
Yeah.
You need to be very certain that you can deliver these
In mint condition.
In mint condition.